Hello, Legion of Audience. This is James, and before we get started today, I wanted to take a second and let you all know about the brand new Who Would Win Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get behind-the-scenes access like you've never seen before, go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Who Would Win patrons will have access to outtake videos, early info on battles, and even get a vote on characters that we'll use in upcoming episodes. So if you'd like to support me and the show, head to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, and for as little as $5 a month, you can define yourself as more than just a fan. You'll be an official member of the Legion. Hope to see you there.
The Joker is at it again. Overlooking the massive working area of Axis Chemicals, he is in the midst of creating an industrial amount of his Joker serum to be set upon the world and prove that he is the greatest of all time. It is then that a presence drops down from the ceiling almost undetectably. The Joker mutters, "I was wondering how long it would take you, bats." But upon turning around, shouts, "Wait, you're not bats!" Daredevil steps forward and nods his head. "Yeah, Batman has the night off. I'm just temping in his place." And he raises his fists, and he prepares for literally anything to happen next. It's the man who laughs versus the man without fear. It's the clown prince of crime versus the scarlet swashbuckler. It's the Joker versus Daredevil. Today on Who Would Win?
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsey, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only Ray Stakanis. Legion of Audience, are you ready for a premier geek battle matchup? Because today's battle is about to get very heated. And I have a feeling there will indeed be some controversy. In one corner, you have the Joker, Gotham City's most notorious and unpredictable criminal mastermind, known for his chaotic nature and relentless obsession with Batman. And in the other corner, you have Daredevil, a blind lawyer by day and a vigilante by night, using his heightened senses and acrobatic prowess to fight crime in Hell's Kitchen. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed. Look, this is really, it's not going to come as any surprise. This matchup has been discussed at length for literally decades. There's what, a combined 100 years of experience, you know, of history between these two people. Of course, they were going to have a collision somewhere online. It happened many, many times, but it's never gotten the Who Would Win treatment until today. Ray, I got to find out, what are your thoughts on today's matchup?
I don't expect any controversy from this matchup's decision at all. Let's face facts. I'm going to pull back the curtain a little bit as James Gavsey, for at least two or three seasons, has been trying to get the Joker back on the show. And I keep asking the question, what's different? What's new about the Joker? He's the same guy from what, the second episode we ever recorded of season one, available on Patreon, if you want to go get that. There it is. There's my plug, patreon.com/whowouldwinshow. The point I'm trying to make is James was insistent about the Joker versus Daredevil, and I am nearly convinced it was because he wanted Daredevil and he wanted to get the win. So I sat there and I went all in with my chips at the Who Would Win boardroom, and I said, "James, I will agree to this battle, but you have to take the Joker." And James, look of horror on his face, shock, overtook him, and he said, and I think I got him in the right moment because he was rearing for a fight, and he said, "I want this fight. I will take the Joker and I will win." And I said, "I'll see you in the ring."
Yeah, I'm not sure what meeting you were at all, Ray Stakanis. Look, here's the deal. We've had some amazing matchups for this season, but I had a concern, and that was we were using some characters that are a little obscure. The fan base maybe knew them, was maybe the first time being introduced to the characters. I went to the Who Would Win production team and I said, and the board, and just said, "Listen, we need a battle where we have two iconic figures colliding in a mega event. You know, this is our Super Bowl. This is a great matchup. Everyone knows these characters. Let's do it." By the way, I would gladly take the Joker. I love Daredevil, by the way. Gladly take the Joker because, as everyone knows, I'm a Batman fanatic. Now, listen, when you have such an epic battle with a collision that's about to occur like this with Ray Stickanus, myself, who are about to go insane repping these battles, you need a judge who not only can see the logic, not only make a great decision, but add a little, I don't know, humor to the situation. Because again, we have the Joker and Daredevil's insanely serious. So making their first appearance on the Who Would Win show, it's writer, comedian, it's Sam Weller. Sam, welcome to Who Would Win.
Thank you so much, James and Ray, for having me on this incredible show of Who Would Win. Honestly, if I was combing through my podcast data logs and I saw a matchup like this, I'd be clicking download immediately, because when you asked me to be on this show, which was gracious, I didn't know what to expect. And then I look in my inbox and it's this matchup. So as a fan, somebody that's been in and around the LA comic community for a long time, been to Comic-Con multiple times for promoting things, know a lot of writers, know a lot of artists that work in and around the industry, we love having these types of conversations, and I just couldn't be more excited to be here.
Well, it sounds like you're exactly who we would need and want for today's battle. Now, before we get into any more of these specifics of the matchup that's about to occur, please tell our fan base, the Legion of Audience, what you've been up to.
Awesome. I've been doing a lot of things lately. I think most recently people can know me for creating and producing the show Super Dating Simulator with Sarah Brown. It's a live comedy show we've been running for the last 6 years in Los Angeles. And it's based on anime and dating sims, namely Japanese dating sim and video games. So our audience gets a chance to vote on what happens throughout the adventure to try and help our lead character find love. And we've been doing that show at the Alamo Drafthouse for the last couple years. And we're excited to be coming back. And we're excited to continue to kind of like push that art forward. And the other thing I'd plug is Scrappy Ads, but we'll do that at the end of the show, because I want people to get a taste of the Weller before they want to get the whole kit and caboodle. But you can follow me at Yas Sam Weller if you like any of my words. And if you don't, follow me anyway and then tell me about it. Maybe I'll change your mind. I don't know.
I mean, this sounds like something everyone would want to see live, but also, you know, if they couldn't be there, they'd want to check it out anyway. Ray, please do us the honors and announce today's matchup.
Representing DC Comics, the villain who doesn't want you to know that he got those scars, trying to eat a Pop-Tart whole and straight from the toaster, the Joker. And representing Marvel Comics, the hero who is blind as a bat, but also punches like one, Daredevil.
Punches like a bat. Oh, I got it. Got it. Sorry.
Use the brain, James.
Got it. And he just doesn't, because there's a character in DC Marvel crossover that said, okay, more on that later. All right, well done, Ray. Before we go any further, let's go over the basics of a Who Would Win match. Now, each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed. And the debater has to stay within the confines of the character. And when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal, with no outside interference being allowed. Remember, you can always check out all the rules on our website at www.whowouldwinshow.tv. Before we get started, don't forget to leave the Who Would Win show a 5-star rating and a fantastic written review wherever you download and listen to podcasts. And now, let's get to the tale of the tape for both of our combatants. Ray, please give us the details for Daredevil.
Daredevil is a blind superhero in New York City whose other senses are ratcheted up to make up for his disability. He was created by Stan Lee and Bill Everett and first appeared in Daredevil number 1 back in 1964. Matt Murdock was just a kid when he was hit in the street by radioactive chemicals from a passing truck and blinded. He had the fighting blood of his boxing father in him, though, and Matt trained blind fighting under a master named Stick, becoming a highly skilled fighter in his own right. And now donning a mask, Daredevil stalks the streets of Hell's Kitchen looking to protect its people from the denizens of the night. And by that, I mean criminals, not vampires. But I mean, sometimes, you know what, never mind. Fun fact, did you know that Matt Murdock had a twin brother? Sort of. You see, the people in Matt's life were getting too close to figuring out his secret identity, because Spider-Man accidentally told them who he was in a letter. So to throw them off, Matt invented a never before heard of twin named Mike Murdock, who was actually supposed to be the real Daredevil. You see, Mike wore bright colors, he acted wild in public, and of course was not blind. Matt had to pretend to be Mike on occasion as well in order to sell this lie. But that didn't last long, as Mike's death was faked to end the character and the confusing storylines that came with him. And I guess everyone just forgot about their suspicions, even though Daredevil was still around after Mike was dead. Who knows? But that is Daredevil.
Well done. Now, here are the details for the Joker. Now, the Joker, I can't even believe I'm saying this. The Joker is one of the most famous villains in comic book history and Batman's ultimate nemesis. Picture that creepy clown with white skin, green hair, and that permanent red grin, always up to some chaotic mayhem, and you've got the Joker. He's not just about causing trouble. He revels in spreading fear and madness throughout Gotham City with his elaborate and often brutal schemes. What's fascinating is how he challenges Batman's morals, making their clashes not just physical, but deeply psychological. Yes, if you're wondering, did help me write this whole thing. It's great. Created by Bill Finger, Bob Kane, and Jerry Robinson, the Joker first appeared in Batman number one back in April of 1940. I will be using the comic book version, which started from there in today's battle. Initially meant to be a one-off character, he quickly became a fan favorite, evolving over the years into a complex figure with various portrayals in comics, TV, and movies, each adding new layers to his dark and twisted persona. Over the years, the Joker's made some things very clear. No one really understands why he does what he does, and even the most powerful superheroes on Earth consider the Joker to be a huge threat to the world. And here's an interesting fact about the Joker. Did you know that there was an actor who was considered for the role of the Joker in two separate Batman films? It's true. Look, there were many actors who were considered for the role of the Joker in the original Batman movie back in 1989, and for the iconic Heath Ledger Joker role as well for the Christopher Nolan Batman films. But there was one actor in particular who was considered for both of these roles and obviously didn't get it. And when you think about it, this actor would have nailed it, taking nothing away from Jack Nicholson or Heath Ledger, of course. Guess who I'm talking about? It's the one and only Robin Williams. Mm-hmm. That's right. We were this close to having Robin Williams as the Joker in the original film and also in the Heath Ledger film, you know, replacing him as Joker. It could have been insane. This could have been a great thing. I think he would have been perfect. But there's more to this because he was also very close to being another villain playing against Val Kilmer's Batman. That's right. Robin Williams was super close to being the Riddler. Oh, what could have been. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Sam, do you have any questions before we get started?
First off, I don't envy either of you to be the champions for your corresponding folks. It seems like I'm coming in the middle of some major tumult regarding the inclusion of Daredevil in these battles, James and Ray. And it seems like, am I correct? Have you both decided to sort of exchange each other's like champions and fight for the other man, or what is happening?
No, I think I can't speak on Ray's behalf, but, you know, I love the Joker and Daredevil's awesome. Somehow Daredevil got a win over Batman Beyond, which was ridiculous,
oh,
by the way.
That is
interesting. So this is a slightly a little bit of a revenge match for the Bat family and world on my behalf.
Interesting.
This is a battle of champions, though. Joker's won on the show before, as has, of course, as we now know, Daredevil has won as well. And if you beat Batman Beyond, how hard is the Joker going to be? We'll find out.
Well, I think this is the, of course, the cusp of exploration. I think the one question I have up top, though, is this is a neutral playing ground. Both individuals have not had a chance to, quote unquote, prepare for the other's arrival.
Right.
Can we assume that the sort of implements that they might have on each other's persons would be no different than what they might be carrying on themselves in a regular, maybe not low security, but like a medium security sort of state? I'm just like kind of getting the D&D rules out there.
No, that's a great question. So the assumption is whatever is standard issue, so to speak, for each character, you know, let's say they're out and, you know, about to fight someone and they get whisked away to another world where now they have to face this opponent.
Right.
Whatever they had
Secret
on them, they
Wars
will have
style.
With them.
Yes.
Okay. Exactly like Secret Wars.
Okay. Well, now the stage is set. And if I had a pepper, I'd bite into it. But gentlemen, take it away. I'm ready to adjunct. Or a judge? A judge. My dad's a lawyer, not me.
They both work. Here we go. Let's do this. Ray, hit us with your point number one.
Did you say bite a pepper? I mean, maybe we should have
Iron
judges
Chef,
do the
Iron
hot
Chef.
Ones challenge.
It's an Iron Chef reference. I'm so sorry, Ray.
All right, Chairman
Iron Chef arena, he's so excited about the battle ahead. He takes a bite of a very unctuous, you know, vegetable.
Ray has not had a bite of a vegetable in years. I'm sorry, Ray. Go ahead and hit us your point number one.
Point number one for Daredevil, we're just going to open with some of the obvious stuff. His fighting skill. Because when it comes to these two, Daredevil is one of the greatest hand-to-hand combatants in all of Marvel Comics. Top three at minimum. And that's a world that has, what, the Iron Fist, Captain America, many other great fighters in there. And Daredevil is right there at or near the top, no matter what you're talking about. The Joker, on the other hand, is not necessarily known for his fighting prowess. When Batman meets up with the Joker, there's nothing to stand between them. Batman cleans his clock basically 10 times out of 10, barring some unforeseen circumstances that the Joker, using prior knowledge and preparation, has set up ahead of time, right? We all know that that's the score. So the fact that there will be no prior knowledge or preparation here means the Joker is in for a rough time, because Matt Murdock knows the body. He knows it because he has a radar echolocation that he's able to do, which allows him to pinpoint spots on a body, even if he didn't have that sort of medical knowledge. He knows nerve strikes. He knows nerve pinches. He can cause temporary paralysis, easy for me to say, or a knockout cold by just touching somebody or hitting them with one shot. Let's not forget, he has fought, at the same time, 107 armed Yakuza members simultaneously. Many of them had this sort of like special steroid in them that made them at peak human, if not superpowered level. 107 at once. But the Joker's going to give him trouble, please. And he's not just great at hand-to-hand fisticuffs as well, but with a baton as well. We know Daredevil's always got that baton, and he can use it, using his enhanced senses and whatnot and hand-to-hand prowess, to bounce it off of surfaces, often defying all the laws of physics and gravity, and ricochet off of objects and knock people unconscious cold. You want to talk about unpredictable? I know the Joker is known for that word, but Daredevil can hit you from anywhere and can do it pretty much effortlessly. Not only that, he's great with a bow as well. I've seen him do a Robin Hood where he shot an arrow as a bullseye through another arrow, just like the Disney cartoon. And if you can do stuff I've seen in Disney cartoons, you are ready for primetime, sir. But that's not even to bring up his ninja skills. He ran the hand at one point, right? And he could also stealth in plain sight where you can't see him. You can't hear him. There was one time he was involved, without being involved, in a conversation of a bunch of people for an hour before anybody even noticed that he was there. And these were like super heroic people. And he just sort of showed up and he's like, I've been here for an hour. Nobody knew I was here. He's got the stealth, man. If Batman could do it, Daredevil could do it as well, which is what allowed Daredevil to get wins over super-powered characters in one-on-one confrontations. At one point, Daredevil fought the Rhino. We know the Rhino from Spider-Man typically. He's not quite Juggernaut, but when he gets running, he can definitely do some damage. Well, Daredevil beat him mid-charge. Rhino was charging at Daredevil, and Daredevil used his abilities to shove something down Rhino's throat and knock him out. Mid-charge. No one does that to the Rhino. Well, Daredevil did. In fact, Daredevil once knocked out Spider-Man. Actual Peter Parker Spider-Man got knocked unconscious by Daredevil because he was going a little bit too hard, as they say, and he was about to kill a guy by punching him to death. And so Daredevil's like, that's enough for you. Knocks him unconscious. Not just that. He had the Bullseye. Bullseye is an archenemy, right? He put a sigh through the torso of Bullseye when he was possessed by a demon and running the hand, and his morals were quote-unquote off. He ran him through with a sigh in front of all of his friends and neighbors when they didn't understand what was happening, and they all looked at him being like, oh my God, Daredevil went there. None of us can believe it, but that's the sort of fighting skill that he has. Something Joker has no answer for, and that's my point number one.
Wow, okay, here's the deal. By the way, the Joker has not just an answer for that, but then a whole lot more questions for Daredevil that he's never seen before. Let me kind of get to this. Look, Daredevil is an amazing fighter. One of the great reasons, one of the reasons I love Daredevil as a character is because he reads his opponents and then figures out what's going on and how to kind of take advantage of their movements and what have you. That's a cool thing. I'm not going to take that away from him. But with that being said, Joker's taken on the Bat family, both as individuals and as an entirety, and he has wins over them. So you say the ninja skills, the batons that Nightwing kind of uses as well. The bow staff, that the Jason Todd version, not the Jason Todd, but the other version of Robin has a bow staff as well. This is all stuff that he's seen. Ninja skills, stealth. Yeah, Batman's known for that. The Joker's dealt with that for decades, knows how to detect it, knows how to overcome it. And not to take away from any of this, but, you know, Joker has wins over opponents who are way more powerful than the Rhino and Spider-Man. And finally, here's the fun part. The Joker's tank shots from Batman, right? Why is that important? Because in a Marvel DC crossover, Batman's taking on Bullseye. Bullseye's fighting him. Batman one-shots him. And as Batman, as Bullseye's going out, because he just got knocked unconscious on his way out and fading out, he's like, wow, you hit harder than Bullseye with one punch. That's what the Joker tanks on a regular basis. Now, let me get to my point number one. For my point number one, let's enter the mind of the Joker, shall we? Because, of course, we got to talk about the Joker's insanity. And before we do that, let's talk about just how smart the Joker is, because that's often downplayed by his chaotic and kind of really unpredictable nature. He's a genius. He absolutely is. We're talking about someone who has a genius level IQ in criminal psychology, human psychology, chemistry, strategy, and tactics. He's also a master manipulating people emotionally and psychologically. What the Joker can do better than anyone is read people instantly and know exactly what emotional buttons to push to position people where he wants them to be. And what's really amazing about all this is that he's equally good at doing this with someone who's sane, insane, angry, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. He knows how to do this. This is someone, in terms of IQ, by the way, he beat this character named Ra's al Ghul. In case you don't know, Ra's al Ghul, one of Batman's most deadliest foes, 600-year-old, kind of immortal being who's a criminal genius, warlord over this worldwide terrorist organization that's been in existence for centuries. They're playing chess, and the Joker beats him, which is an insane thing to do. Keep in mind that we're talking about someone who continues to outsmart and outmaneuver Batman, and that's with Batman having decades of experience and advanced knowledge of the Joker before they fight. In fact, the Joker can still catch Batman by surprise in fights, which is hard to imagine because, again, we're talking about Batman, one of the greatest fighters and minds on Earth, at least in the DC universe. Now, speaking of genius, the Joker's weapons also demonstrate an insanely high IQ. He created the Joker Venom, which is powerful enough to affect members of the Justice League. Look, I'm going to talk more about that later on. He can create plans and strategies on the spot for whoever he's facing, you know, that can even fool Batman. This is a guy who comes up with plans on the spot based off what's happening in all the chaos while he's smiling like a maniac, and he comes up with these plans that can misdirect and fool and position Batman where he wants him to go. Now, where the Joker is the most dangerous is in the area of that psychological manipulation, those mind games. He's a genius, like I said, at reading people, figuring them out in a matter of seconds, and also at positioning themselves exactly, and I mean exactly, whatever horrible situation he wants them to be in terms of a spot or where he wants their mind to be psychologically. Look, against both the Flash, there was two versions of the Flash, the Barry Allen one and the Wally West Flash. The Joker made each of them question their ability to protect Central City, and that while they're questioning everything, they became less effective, and that's how the Joker got the drop on him and beat them, and that was in a fight that was completely unexpected. And this is just something he loves to do. He loves to screw with people while he's fighting with them. And in this fight, Daredevil and the Joker will be talking to each other and communicating because that's what Daredevil does. Now, in terms of pure physicals, the Joker's insane, of course. That means his tolerance to pain, it's really weird. It's described as pretty much superhuman. Why? Because his insanity enables him to either ignore pain or completely to turn it off in its entirety. And as a result, he's got some superhuman levels of durability. Look, he survived being shot, being blown up, being hit by Wonder Woman, surviving walking away from falls from insane heights. Now, this is also due to the fact that his pain tolerance enables him to ignore pain signals from the body, but this also gives him something else. His insanity gives him almost superhuman strength. Let me explain why. When he ignores his pain, he can push his body and stress the tendons, ligaments, joints. This is something Batman's seen before, and all of a sudden this guy who's like 6'5", barely 200 pounds, he's not small, he's not huge, is hitting insanely hard, and that's why he's so capable in a lot of these fights. He's going past the structural limits because he's not listening to the pain in his body telling him to stop. But here's what many people don't know as well. The Joker is a really cool final thing, is at minimum just as fast as Batman, but may actually be even faster. It's really crazy, but it's true. In one really vicious encounter, the Joker's fighting Batman and not only avoiding Batman's strikes, but actually took two knives and one at a time stabbed Batman in the back, plunged him deep in his back as he was taking, you know, dodging Batman's punches and kicks and attacks. This is Batman while it's happening saying, and he said, Batman was saying to himself during the fight, wow, I forgot how fast the Joker is. I don't understand how he could be this fast. That's Batman saying that about the Joker. There is so much more to this character, but for now, that's my point number one.
All right. Let's calm down a little bit. Batman having himself forget the Joker was fast is just because he's so emotionally invested with the character and he doesn't take him seriously as a hand-to-hand fighter. He just forgets that he could do one thing once in a while. Look, the Joker is a genius. He's a genius intellect. He is a very, very smart character. Nobody can deny that. But he's not as resourceful improvisationally in combat as Daredevil is. Daredevil has to constantly work around a being disadvantageous position in order to overcome his opponents. Joker, typically, when he gets into battle, he's at his strength because he set it up to be that way ahead of time. Let's face it, Joker needs prep time. I'm sorry, but he does. He needs to know the person he's facing, and he needs to know the situation, and he needs to have things on his terms to be successful. That's not what's happening here. No unexpected attacks here. We're expecting to fight. And you say, you pretend like the Joker's a character who's always willing to go there. Sure, but he wouldn't even shave his mustache for TV. So how hard is he really willing to go?
What? How dare you? By the way, thank you for clearly demonstrating that you don't know the Joker by those statements. But regardless of all that, it's time to find out what the judge has to say. Sam, you've heard one point from both Ray and myself. Where is your head at so far with this battle?
Well, first of all, I want to commend you both for some excellently researched and really involving points. I think both leaning on the structures. I will have to admit a little bit of pre-thought bias. As I was mulling over the fact from the moments that I had from the email to this battle, thinking about the Joker and the Daredevil's dynamic, I think that both people are clever to lean on the things that make both fighters dangerous in a situation. I feel like Daredevil just has such an overwhelming physical advantage, but we haven't yet begun to delve into sort of the depths. I think like a first blush contact, if the fight were to end quickly, it seems like it would go to the more athletic competitor right now. However, if the fight drags on, it can only favor the person who masters the mental part of the fight. So I think while Joker right now on point one might be a little bit behind, there's no reason for me to believe that he can't catch up and make this a much more dangerous encounter as we continue this battle.
Great points from the judge. This battle is definitely heating up. We'll be right back for point number two.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. Ray, let's see what you got. Hit us with your point number two.
Point number two we have for Daredevil. Let's talk about his superheroic physicals. Because when these two are matched one by one, side by side, what is a peak physical superheroic specimen and the other's wearing too much makeup?
Whoa.
Let's talk about his strength first. Because Daredevil causes breaks in concrete with his punches. He punches, he misses, he hits a wall, he breaks a chunk off the wall. That's what Daredevil does. He also does that with his baton as well. When he throws it, he tends to break, pieces off of walls and corners and whatever the heck he's got to do, right? This is a guy who breaks the limbs of the people he's fighting without even necessarily trying to. He's just trying to put them in some of his very tactical holds. And if the person moves the wrong way, does something, unpredictably, Daredevil will break his arm or his leg. Just saying. This is a guy who strength-wise has once used a 400-pound weight as a weapon and was like whipping it around and hitting people with it. 400 pounds. I ain't seeing the Joker lift a buck 05, all right? And as far as speed goes, he gets into combats against lots of different opponents and he cannot take the hits of many of these opponents or shouldn't try to. For example, Pyro. Everyone's favorite fire-based mutant, at least in the top five. He once dodged the flames of Pyro in a hand-to-hand combat experience. They were standing very close to each other. Pyro was shooting fire, and Daredevil had to just kind of whip around the room to avoid getting engulfed in flames like he was opposing Dhalsim in Street Fighter 2. He deflects bullets maybe better than anyone else I've seen. There are entire montages, if you go online, of like Pinterest boards of Daredevil just deflecting bullets every way known to man, using his environment, his weapons, himself if he has to. He's got to do it. But not only does he do that, he dodges gunfire maybe better than anyone else on a separate Pinterest page, and that you could have a very hard time hitting him with gunfire. He doesn't like guns. He stays away from guns, and he knows how to avoid guns. Even at point blank range with like a shotgun, it doesn't matter. He can sense when the thing's about to get clicked, and he can move out of the way very, very quickly to avoid them. In fact, he once fought a character named The Spot that was kind of teleporting and attacking him all around, and he was able to avoid several teleportation-style punch attacks. So you talk about being able to overcome the surprising. Joker is going to be surprising in this battle. If there's a bad matchup for Joker, it's a character such as Daredevil, who's constantly having to improvise and expect the unexpected and is successful at doing so. But his durability is great, too. Daredevil took several shots from the Hulk. Yes, that incredible Hulk. And yes, it hurt him, but he was able to get up and keep fighting. He got knocked like across a city block into like an alley where he stood up. He's like, wow, that's the Hulk. But I still got to go fight him. And he got back. I would leave. I would get a bus ticket out of town, but not Daredevil. He took several shots from Electro in a hand-to-hand fight where every time he would like block one of his punches, he would get an electric shock. And he won that battle. One, my favorite, he got sprayed with hallucinatory gas. He fell off a building onto the street below, then got hit by a car. Then a series of thugs came up with baseball bats and beat the snot out of him till he defeated them in combat. And then he got blown up in an explosion and walked away safely. What is Joker gonna do? His body control is incredible. He once shook off the effects of a tranquilizer dart. He just willed his body through superhuman abilities to say, no, that's not going to work. And it didn't. And finally, his agility. Nobody's landing hits on this guy, not the Joker especially, because he can leap up an entire floor to the balcony above. That was the second floor of a prison. And he jumped up in the air, spun over the bars, and was on the second floor. I ain't seen Joker, you know, running to the fridge, much less making an athletic move like that. And he did my favorite G.I. Joe Tomax and Zaymot move. Daredevil's always doing this. He falls off the side of a building and he grabs the flagpoles and he grabs all the banisters and everything. And he's flipping his way all the way down and he's safe again. This guy is an Olympic level gymnast. No, he's considerably better than that. Joker doesn't have a shot in heck. H-E-double-C-K. And that's my point number two.
Wow, you're talking like the Joker's never seen people who have these insane peak human physicals.
It's a shame he hasn't.
I know, it's a shame he hasn't. Oh, wait a second. He has. Ray, you're talking about, you know, the strong punches that break concrete, the strong baton throwing, you know, the breaking of limbs. I mean, you're talking about either Batman or members of the Bat family that Joker has faced many, many times and has a lot of experience with. By the way, also has wins over all of them. So this is nothing he's going to be surprised about or doesn't know how to deal with already. In terms of speed, you know, that Pyro example is great. Joker has two wins over the two versions of the Flash, the fastest person in the DC universe. So I think he knows how to deal with someone who's fast, like the Daredevil. And again, taking nothing away from Daredevil. And on top of this whole thing, the tranquilizer thing you talked about, if I'm recalling the same instance, Daredevil didn't just shake it off. It took him a while to do this. And for our judge, remember, all that the person has to do to win is incapacitate their opponent for 2 minutes, where they can just stay right there for 2 minutes and have no threat from their opponent whatsoever. Right. And when Daredevil did that, it took way more than 2 minutes to do it. Did he shake it off? Yeah. Did it take him quite some time? Yes. So just putting that all there. Now, let me get to my point number two. And for the Joker, let's talk about his weapons and his fighting ability. Now, in terms of weapons, the Joker has a machine gun, a handgun. He doesn't always have a machine gun. Sometimes he does. So I'm kind of up in the air with that one. He's got an assortment of festival style Joker type bombs and explosives, at least 3 razor sharp knives on him at all times. He's got even more explosives in the forms of toys, an acid flower in his lapel that shoots very powerful acid that eats through concrete, metal, and everything else it touches. He's got razor sharp playing cards that he can throw with great accuracy, almost like a master. He's got his own way more powerful version of a laughing gas that makes people laugh uncontrollably until they die. That's a fun thing. He's got the Joker venom, right? This is a super powerful toxin. I'm going to talk more about this at length in a second. He's got an electric hand buzzer that shoots out insane levels of voltage that can take out super powerful metahumans with just a touch. Metahuman, by the way, that's just what DC Comics, you know, labels as someone with like superpowers. And that's on top of the fact that Joker is a master of using his surroundings and whatever is near him to create improvised weaponry. We've seen them do this many, many times. Fun fact, due to all that exposure to the toxins, his laughing gases, all that kind of horrible stuff over the years, the Joker is now completely impervious to all of them, which means one of the things he likes to do, he deploys that gas, the toxins, wherever he does it, when his opponents get in close and are actually fighting him, and they don't even know that he's deployed it until all of a sudden they start feeling it, start laughing, it hit the ground, whatever's going to happen. And again, it's not going to matter if Joker breathes it in, because again, he's impervious to all of it. It's not going to affect him. Now, speaking of the Joker venom, let's get into that. So this thing's, it's a really powerful, it's kind of an advanced chemical weapon created by the Joker. It's a toxin, this is cool, causes his victims to laugh uncontrollably before leading to paralysis, death, and they have that grotesque smile permanently put on their faces. It's awesome. Now, the effects are really cool. It's an immediate bout of uncontrollable laughter, facial muscle spasms, creating what's called a rictus grin. It creates intense pain, confusion, hallucinations. Then it's followed by psychological paralysis, asphyxiation, and death. This thing is not pleasant whatsoever. And in case you can somehow take the physical effects for a while, the Joker venom can also cause severe mental trauma or madness before death. Even if you can somehow survive it, the Joker venom leaves permanent psychological trauma on its victims. Again, this is not fun stuff. When Batman gets hit with this, he's trained himself to deal with it. He has an anti-Joker venom. He has to deploy it into his system immediately. And by the way, the Joker does know how to get past Batman's suit. Even though it's bulletproof, whatever, he knows how to get it to Batman, deploy it to him through his suit or make him breathe in the laughing gas. And when that happens, Batman's in a panic going like, I gotta take this anti-venom quickly. I literally have seconds before it's too late. That's how Batman survives it. Guess who's not going to have any of that? That's Daredevil. Now, a small dose can be fatal within minutes, but the person starts feeling immediately, and the Joker has many ways of deploying and hitting someone with this Joker venom. It's crazy. Look, anything he touches, a punch, a grab, a handshake, he's got pins throughout his gloves that he can actually punch through Batman's suit. So again, he doesn't feel he's been hit, but he is. That's insane. Of course, Batman, you know, knows how to deal with the Joker venom, but you know who Joker is actually beaten with the Joker venom? He's completely taken out with the Joker venom. The Flash, I mentioned 2 Flashes before, Green Lantern, Hawkgirl, Martian Manhunter, who's as powerful as Superman, and even Wonder Woman. If the Joker venom can take out Wonder Woman and Martian Manhunter, then it's absolutely going to take out Daredevil. Now, in terms of fighting ability, the Joker is actually an incredible fighter. He really is. He's got big wins over big opponents, but the thing about his fighting style is highly unpredictable. Ray, you touched on this a little bit. Let me go a little bit further. It's really hard to read the Joker's movements and understand what he's doing or about to do. It's safe to say the Joker's taken on the greatest martial artists and fighters on Earth and made them at times have no idea how to fight him. I'm really going to go into more detail in point number 3. Look, both the Joker and Daredevil have big losses. Look, characters with over 100 years of experience, I mentioned before, this is to be expected for both of them. But the difference between them in terms of fighting style is that Daredevil's a master at reading his opponents. That's how he gets the wins. That's how he can roll with a punch. He can predict what's about to happen. He understands the technique, but he's going up against someone who can't be read. I'll be explaining a lot more of this in my point number 3. For now, all that is my point number 2.
Now, you bring up the Joker beating the Flash on 2000. These are different versions of Flash, obviously, but there's a certain point in DC Comics where beating the Flash is not a big deal. You yourself know that Catwoman once beat 3 Flashes simultaneously by just sticking her legs out, and they ran into her feet, and then they knocked themselves unconscious. So wins over the Flash come in different categories, right? And yeah, I do like the idea that the Joker would drop a gas bomb that nobody would know that even that happened, except Daredevil has the enhanced senses that are always on in his immediate vicinity. If he dropped anything, Daredevil would not only know that he did it, but he'd know what it is as well very, very quickly through his enhanced senses. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget the fact that the Joker died in his first appearance. They had to retcon the character just to get him out of the gate. That's ridiculous. And there is a different character in Marvel Comics called the Jester, who is a Joker variable, right? A very similar character. And Daredevil beat the crap out of this guy who uses social media to tell lies. Can you believe that? A character doing that? How evil is that? Stop it.
All interesting stuff, because we are now at the turning point. Sam, you've had a moment to ponder 2 points for both Ray and myself. Who do you think is ahead, and what does the other side have to do to pull out the victory?
Again, I think both sides have had just very well-researched points. I think the thing that happened in the second point was Ray, I feel like, doubled down on the physicality. I feel like it was a point that was already proven to me about Daredevil's ability in combat, his ability to withstand pain and to endure unpredictable situations. However, he left you a gate open there, James, was saying that Daredevil's fighting style depends on reads. And coming from the fighting game community, you know, Tekken, Street Fighter, et al., I think reads are a super important psychological part of the game. And unfortunately, in the psychological part of the game, I would have to get the Joker an advantage. So what I think, again, is what I'm looking for maybe in the third point and where we are now is, while Daredevil was a bit more ahead in the first round, I think it's kind of tightened up a little bit more, because I'm glad that, James, you brought in the fact that Joker has an equipment on his person, not only his toxins, but playing cards, other gimmickry, knives, you know, sharp objects. You mentioned machine guns, which he's known to pull out. So, you know, we've seen Joker portrayed in overcoats. We've seen Joker portrayed with long rib hats. I don't think it's unpredictable to think that he would have more toys, so to speak, on his person than Daredevil. However, Daredevil, and again, I'm maybe referencing a picture from the background of Ray's portrait, but Daredevil always has these really sick looking nunchucks that seem to have an unending layer of wisp to them that can twerk around. So again, I think Daredevil just has this skill advantage that is similar to Batman's that Joker needs to contend with. However, to James's point, Joker has contended with these things before. So in addition to Joker's toys and Daredevil's physicality and his obvious overwhelming advantage in terms of strategic combat enjoyment, I'm looking in point three maybe to see what is a key differentiator for Joker, to see if they can't cinch the win. And what is something different that Daredevil can bring to the table that even the Joker might not expect? That's what I'm looking for in point three.
Wow, as a first-time judge, you are killing it. This is insane. I know I'm working on overtime, trying to pull out everything I can. Ray's killing it as well. I hate to say it. This battle's heating up. We'll be right back for point number three. And we're back. Ray, I've said it before, it's now or never. Hit us for your point number three.
Point number three for Daredevil. We're going to talk about some of the intangibles and what he brings to this fight in order to win it and push him over the edge. First off, Daredevil, let's not forget, is also a genius. He was class valedictorian, and he was a very, very good lawyer. He specialized in superhero law, a little bit like a She-Hulk kind of character did. He once represented the Fantastic Four, just for example. And he is very, very good at what he does. People seek him out to represent him, even before in some universes they even knew that he was Daredevil at all. And one thing that the Joker uses to his advantage is fear. People are scared of the Joker. People look at him and they get menaced. They don't know what he's going to do. They're afraid of what he could do. But you got to remember that Daredevil is the man without fear. And what that means, quite literally means, once he's decided that he's going to lean into the Daredevil persona hard, he suddenly loses all fear. I can't even explain this. Somebody hit him with hallucinogenic fear toxin, right? And what did he do? He just said, actually, I'm Daredevil. Nothing is what I'm afraid of. And he just shrugged it off like it was absolutely nothing, almost supernaturally. And he can also, you know, it's hard to take Daredevil by surprise. And that's what the Joker needs to do to win, right? He really needs to do something that will surprise Daredevil to the point where he can coup de grace him for a victory, or at least put him down for 2 minutes. But his enhanced senses are such that he can hear hidden guns and weapons underneath people's overcoats. He does this all the time. Not only that, he can identify what weapons they are by like the sounds and smells of them. That's the kind of guy that Daredevil is. So what Joker has on him is going to be known within about 1.5 seconds of Daredevil meeting him through his different tricks that he has. His senses are absolutely unreal. Not only has he done that trick where he can just identify hidden weapons before, one time in an older Daredevil comic, and I remember this vividly, he was driving a car that had an engine problem, and through just his senses, he could figure out what the problem was of the engine and pinpoint it to the point where he could have fixed it himself, not really even knowing anything about cars. He just could see where the problem is from hearing it and smelling it and feeling it, right? That's who he is. But he is a very smart and a very quick thinker. And that's what it takes to be Joker. That's how Batman does it over and over again. He often will use people's strengths to their disadvantages, and he'll often do things that are surprising on his own. For example, he was fighting against two superhumans named Mr. Hyde and Cobra. And both of these particular characters had the super strength. You know, they weren't mutants per se, but they kind of had that power about them. And what did he do? They beat him the first time when they caught him, you know, off guard, and he didn't know what to do. They were very skilled fighters who were very strong. Well, he fought him a second time and thought, what if I just turn out the lights? I can fight blind. Can they? The answer is no. And he handled them very, very easily once he's made the battlefield somewhere that was more advantageous to himself. He once fought the Human Torch. That is an impressive supernova casting being. And they thought that he was a bad guy. There's a whole story. But Human Torch came to get Daredevil. What did Daredevil do? He got Human Torch into a spot and dropped a water tower on his head, extinguishing his flames for a short period of time. Used his environment. Had a quick idea of what he needed to do and then made it happen. Heck, he once outsmarted Dr. Doom. You outsmart Dr. Doom, you have something going on in your head. Dr. Doom swapped bodies with Daredevil and said, now I've got your powers. I'm gonna mess with you. I'm gonna ruin your life. And Daredevil said, yeah, but you just swapped bodies with me. And he immediately ordered Latveria and all its military to attack all the surrounding countries. He said, oh, you're going to mess with me? I'm going to mess with you 10 times harder because you got a lot more to lose than I do. And in the moment, Dr. Doom said, oh, just kidding. And he swapped bodies back and said, all right, Daredevil, I'm going to stop messing with you because I made a mistake. Just leave me alone. And the other thing is his enhanced senses. He can tune them up or he can tune them down now based on his situation. He used to get overwhelmed by loud noises and rain and all that kind of stuff. Well, he can tamp that stuff down to a much more personal level when he needs to. But when he doesn't need to, he can process everything within like a mile radius and know everything everyone is doing in that radius for an extended period of time if he opens himself up to it. And that's why I say the mental powers are just too much to overcome. The physicality is just too much to overcome. He got hit with that tranquilizer dart, and James, I'm sorry, he was on the roof with the Punisher, who surprised him and hit him with the tranquilizer dart when he was on the roof in one of his older adventures. And Punisher tried to kill a guy, and Daredevil had to physically stop him from killing the man through use of the tranquilizer and overcame that toxin. He could do it there. He could do it here. Daredevil wins.
All right, let me kind of push back on some stuff you said here, Ray, because again, I love Daredevil, but we got to be kind of careful how we go here. First of all, Joker doesn't rely on scaring people. Has he scared people? Sure, but that's not part of what he does. You might be confusing with the Scarecrow. The Joker is just unpredictable and chaotic by nature. That's something that even Batman can't figure out the Joker. Good luck with Daredevil doing it. Also, fun fact, Daredevil and his enhanced senses, they are often displayed as, you know, being easily or at least overcome by gases. Gases seem to play really big havoc with Daredevil. He can't bounce that sonar off of stuff and read what's around him, you know, because of the gas. Same thing when he's in water, by the way, but I don't think this battle's going to go in water, but he just can't bounce that. He can't smell as well. I mean, he's got the super senses with the smell and all that. Gases absolutely kind of kill it. And of course, the Joker's got the laughing gas. So, I mean, you also said when he got caught at guard by Mr. Hyde, and I think Cobra, Ray, is what you said, and that he got beaten really, really bad. Because again, he got caught off guard. It happens. And then he came back in a second encounter. That's what I see for this fight. He's going to get caught off guard by Joker, get messed up by the Joker toxin. He's going to take off. He's going to figure out what's going on. I'll talk more about that. And finally, I love that Daredevil outsmarted Dr. Doom. I can't wait to read that. Here's the thing. The Joker has outsmarted Batman on a number of occasions, and he's also outsmarted Lex Luthor. You know, when you can outsmart both of them, that's saying something, not to take away from Daredevil. All right, now here's the deal. Let me get to my point number three. For my point number three, let's talk about some big wins. Daredevil's weaknesses and why I see the Joker winning and beating, you know, Daredevil in an epic fight. So in terms of who the Joker has beaten, he beat 12 League of Assassin ninjas at the same time. League of Assassins is this crazy, you know, league of crazy good killers within the DC universe, trained by Ra's al Ghul and his whole thing. And Joker took out 12 of them easily while he was laughing and having a great time to do it. It's just a fun thing. Joker's beaten every member of the Bat family. That's right. He beat Nightwing, Jason Todd, Batwoman, all the Robins. And what's interesting about that is because when you look at what Daredevil does within the Bat family in terms of all those capabilities, and Joker's taken on the Bat family in its entirety as well and has wins over every member of the Bat family. He's beaten Harley Quinn. Why is that important? Because if anyone knows the Joker really well and shouldn't be surprised by him, it should be Harley Quinn. Sure enough, the Joker's beaten Harley Quinn. This is after they split up. They're no longer seeing each other. Harley Quinn knows the Joker and yet still got surprised by the Joker who outthought her. And Harley Quinn's also insanely smart. He's beaten Lex Luthor. I mentioned that before. The Barry Allen, Wally West versions of The Flash. He's beaten Green Lantern, Hawkgirl, Martian Manhunter. I mentioned before, he beat Wonder Woman. And of course, he's beaten Batman a number of times. Now, these victories came by the way of Joker's kind of intense intelligence, his chaotic nature and unpredictable tactics, fighting style, insane logic, his genius, and especially his Joker toxin, which he knows how to deploy in such a way that Batman gets caught off guard with it. There's no noise with it. You don't know what's happening. He can touch you with it on his fingertips with gloves. He can puncture through stuff. You have no idea. And of course, Daredevil's getting up close into the Joker's face, beating on him insanely. That's going to create an opportunity. Now, some of these victories were against characters that Joker had never faced off against, you know, or against the Joker and Joker never faced off before. And this is the big difference between the two. So the big one I want to bring up real quick, the former Batgirl, someone named Cassandra Cain. Now, Cassandra Cain is the daughter of Lady Shiva, who was the best martial artist and best fighter. Even Batman said, no, this is someone who's better than me. This is the daughter of Cassandra Cain, who could use crazy physicals to be insanely good. And then she beat Lady Shiva and now has the title as the best fighter on Earth. So in the first encounter with Joker and Cassandra Cain when she was Batgirl, they had never met before. They didn't know of each other, you know, didn't know each other's whatever. In fact, Cassandra Cain probably had advanced knowledge. Cassandra Cain couldn't read the Joker's movements. She kept thinking to herself, I can't tell what's going on. I can read everybody. I can't tell what this person is doing. And the Joker beat her in their first encounter. The Joker beat the best fighter on the planet Earth in the DC universe because she couldn't read his movements. This is something, again, that Daredevil prides himself on being able to do, is to read someone's movements and get the win because he's such a good fighter and experienced fighter. This is not going to happen with the Joker. This will be a huge problem. Now, Daredevil, on top of that, has a couple other weaknesses at playing the Joker's strength. You know, again, I taught you, he has to read someone, but here's a big weakness that Daredevil has. Daredevil is highly susceptible to psychological manipulation. In fact, Daredevil has been manipulated and then caught, which caused him to lose in these battles to the Kingpin, a character named the Muse. He was manipulated by the villain Mysterio in a one-time encounter during the fight. Mysterio manipulated Daredevil and got a win over Daredevil. And my favorite, he's been psychologically manipulated while he finds himself in prison by a mobster named Hammerhead and some corrupt prison officials. Look, if Hammerhead and some corrupt prison officials can psychologically manipulate Daredevil into a position where he then loses, and I'm not talking over days, or no, I'm just talking they're all together. He takes on Daredevil. They manipulate him, you know, with verbal tactics. Daredevil starts questioning who he is, and they just pound on him, beat him, and just leave him there because he got beat up. That's a horrible thing for Daredevil. Look, there have been a number of instances throughout Daredevil's history that show that Daredevil is emotionally unstable, because who wouldn't be with everything Daredevil had to go through in his life? By the way, give that opportunity to Joker to read you as emotionally unstable, which he'll be able to do, and he's going to start using that mastery of his psychological manipulation to position Daredevil wherever he wants. So, what's the big deal with all this? Well, this is designed to get Daredevil in close. See, Joker will take a pounding from Batman, by design while he's talking to Batman to distract him, to bring in that Joker toxin, or just to position wherever he needs him to do to finish him off in the fight. And this is the thing, whether it's the laughing gas, the electric buzzer, I know that Daredevil can walk all that off, but then all of a sudden Daredevil can't read the Joker. The Joker has all that experience with the Bat family, which replicates anything and everything Daredevil can pretty much do. And then on top of that, not reading him, the Joker's assortments of stuff, and then the Joker toxin that's taken out Wonder Woman and Martian Manhunter while the Joker is so insane he's ignoring or turning off the pain that Daredevil is clearly going to be giving him in a form of an epic beating until the Joker gets what he wants out of him. This is a battle the Joker can win. Look, Daredevil is going to escape. He's going to figure out how to overcome the Joker toxin from a distance where he's, you know, escaped to, and then he's going to come back. And I bet you he gets the win in the second encounter. But in the first time, with no previous knowledge and no experience, he's going to get hit by the Joker in any way the Joker wants, with the Joker talks or whatever, and he's going to get the win. All of that is my point number three.
Wait a minute. Wait. How would he possibly know that Daredevil is quote-unquote unstable? He's got a little depression, but he's not schizophrenic. How would he possibly know from this stoic-faced Daredevil he just met? Oh, and then the Joker. He beat 12 League of Assassins. I mentioned Daredevil beat 107 superpowered Yakuza, right? What are we talking about? And Leapfrog. You're going to grab something from 1967. When I made the reference that in Aquaman's first appearance, he was tied up with ropes and thrown in the lake and he almost drowned, you just waved your hand and said, well, that doesn't matter. Well, I waved my hand at Leapfrog. Get out of here. And you're trying to say Cassandra Cain, who would eventually become the most powerful, best fighter in the world. Joker beat her when she was like 9 years old in his first ever appearance. Who cares? Who cares? She wasn't the best fighter in the world when they first fought. So these are two unrelated things you're trying to merge together in our judge's brain. And how many hundreds of losses does Joker have to Superman, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, Batman for like the two you mentioned that he got over? Please, he gets his clock clean. What's most likely to happen here? And the Joker only likes fighting Batman. He's going to see Daredevil as maybe not worthy of his time, and he's not going to necessarily do all the things to win he would do against Batman, which is why he's got bad losses too. Rorschach from The Watchmen in Doomsday Clock beat the crap out of Joker when the two of them met. He lost to Batgirl. This is the same Batgirl that he paralyzed before. She came back and beat him up. And Black Canary, using martial arts, took out Joker. So maybe he's not as unbeatable in one-on-one combat that you like to pretend. What's really going to happen, he's going to drop the gas. He's going to think he's got it after taking some shots. Daredevil's going to notice the gas. He's going to buckle up out of there, get into the rafters, and then pew, ping, ping, ping. That baton is going off about 3-4 different crates, and it's going to hit Joker in the back of the head and knock him unconscious for victory.
I mean, I usually like your point number three, but when you start kind of mixing incorrect stuff in with it, Ray, I got a question, but that's not up for me to figure out, because right now we have to figure out what Sam has to say about this and give his decision. But before we get to what Sam has to say, let's celebrate the Who Would Win patron of the week. Every week we choose one of our amazing members from the Who Would Win show's Patreon community and put them in a battle. Ray, which patron do we have today?
Today, we are going to go with somebody we haven't heard from in a while. We got Gabe Ingrata back on the show. He's been on many times before, and he'll be on many times again, I'm sure. But we haven't heard from him. What's going on, Gabe? Let's see how you do.
Look, when you have Gabe the Genius on the show, you need to pick an ingenious type of character. Maybe someone who's not a genius, but someone who Gabe's genius will have to help him get the win, because I'm not sure the power levels will match up so well. Okay, I got it. In honor of my favorite Godzilla movie that just came out on Netflix, let's have Gabe the Genius go up against Godzilla Minus One.
Now, I don't know the difference between Godzilla Minus One and Godzilla 10 billion. So I'm just going to go ahead and say Godzilla, because they're all the same to me, darn it, except for Godzilla Earth. That one's phenomenal. There's
a lot, just really quick, judges interjection. There's a lot of different Godzillas, and they're all special in their own way, except for the American one with the P. Diddy song.
I think we're on the same page with that. Yeah,
if Green Day did a song on your soundtrack, you're not a real Godzilla movie. You were a lizard movie with Matthew Broderick.
I love a Bear re-edit with only the Godzilla scream put in there. I love that song.
Fair enough. The point I'm trying to make is I remember Godzilla Minus One being in the water and attacking a ship. That's all I have to go with, and that's all I need, because, of course, Gabe Ingrata is fishing off the shores of Japan, and I don't know why he's there. Dad, Jim, what are you doing? The point I'm trying to make here is that Gabe is fishing, and Godzilla comes up and Gabe throws the fish hook and actually snags Godzilla through the top of his mouth and reels him in with his super strength. Godzilla wriggles around like a fish for 2 minutes on the deck of the ship, because this is a very large ship. But that's enough. That's enough. That's an incapacitation. And Gabe Ingrata has won with a fish hook. Congratulations, Gabe. You did it again.
I mean, what's great about this is that you can't even tell the genius to all of this. And that's because Gabe's genius is on such a high level that the genius is hard for us to see it because we're not geniuses like Gabe the genius. Congratulations, Gabe. Now, remember, you too can become a celebrated patron of the week. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and sign up, and you may be featured in an upcoming episode of Who Would Win. Sam, it's time for your decision. Take us through your process. Tell us a story, if you will, and reveal who you think wins this battle between the Joker and Daredevil.
Oh my gosh, this is an unenviable position, I think, for any fan of comics and media in general. I think most listeners are very familiar with both characters through various incarnations, you know, Daredevil through the comics and Netflix and cartoons, Joker through, I think, every single piece of media we have in culture. So I think both characters have such incredible strengths. Daredevil resembles Batman in so many ways that a casual fan would recognize. And then the more in-depth fan would understand Daredevil's more extensive training in the silent arts, in ninjutsu and whatever the hand is teaching him or Elektra teaches him on the side. And then the Joker, however, every iteration of him has always been to the media that he is into, right? Like the Adam West show, he's a little bit funnier. Some of the 90s comics, this guy's really messed up and twisted. And then, you know, a more popular example of the nihilist Joker in the Heath Ledger portrayal, somebody who is deeply intelligent, but obviously really upset with the condition of the world that he occupies. You know, Daredevil has ninja stuff. Joker has society stuff. Both men are actually, I think, bothered in a lot of ways. I think if we were to have way more episodes and issues that we could tell a very much longer, involved, and really entertaining story of conflict between these two and the way they see the world. However, in my scenario that I've concocted from Ray and James's incredible arguments is an abandoned mall. I think about the idea of a neutral playing ground being something that has a lot of surfaces to bounce sound off of, but also being this kind of like macabre, sad setting that the Joker would love to occupy. We know him from The Mask of the Phantasm, where he's occupying this desecrated world of tomorrow from like a Disney perspective kind of bent. Daredevil is totally accustomed to tight corners and spaces a la Hell's Kitchen, New York in general. So we have two characters that are actually kind of used to operating in the shadows. When they're suddenly dropped into an abandoned mall, both are sort of beset by their immediate instincts for how they figure out a scenario. In this case, I'd give the advantage to Daredevil, his ability to find his surroundings, to kind of understand a larger range of conflict would serve him really well. However, the Joker's unorthodox approach to finding shelter, or I guess not finding shelter, because in my scenario, I imagine the Joker is whisked away to a place that he doesn't understand. He weighs his options a moment. Then he decides the best defense is a strong offense. So he's going to step out into the middle of, let's say, a food court, right? So if the Daredevil has found himself, let's say, in a loft, right? Like kind of like the second level above. And we all know those malls where the center of the mall kind of opens to a food court below to the bottom level. And we see those escalators and elevators and the moonlight. So let's set it at night, right? Much more dramatic. The light pouring in through the broken skylight of the food court in the abandoned mall. Maybe, you know what? I'm going to paint this picture even further. Maybe there's a YouTuber who's doing a video about an abandoned mall, you know, and he just thinks, oh, I'm just coming in here at night. It's kind of creepy. A fun video for my followers. All of a sudden, he hears this cacophonous laughter, and it just completely reverberates off all the walls in the abandoned mall. And the Daredevil, of course, hears it even before the Joker's vocal cords have begun uttering it. It's this inhuman, upsetting sound. I mean, this is something the Daredevil is used to, so many different resonances and tones and voices. The Joker, of course, due to his well-recorded insanity, somebody that create a tone that would be even unnerving to the bravest warriors. Daredevil also hears the heartbeat of some nervous YouTuber that has just begun to like raise in pace, right? So now we have this moonlit combat between what sounds like an evil cloud and then this silent protector who knows that somebody else is in this entire mall without it happening. So to kind of cut to the chase, I think immediately the Daredevil would have the drop on the Joker. The Joker is still trying to figure out his surroundings. Obviously, in his insanity, he would think it's some kind of joke from one of his assailants. Similarly, the Daredevil is thinking, I've been teleported. Ray referenced the spot before. Maybe this is some kind of trap, you know, sprung by him. Again, the Daredevil, all of his reads are based on what he anticipates. So now he's thinking, my combatant is somebody learned, somebody that knows what he's doing. So he's going to be on high alert. As the conflict draws toward the center of the food court, I think that the Daredevil makes the punch. He immediately comes in and tries to do some kind of a grounding judo maneuver on the Joker, right? Incapacitation. I don't know if this person's an innocent or not yet. He doesn't know the Joker. Unfortunately, close combat is where the Joker gets the drop on people. So when Daredevil tackles the cackling madman, the Joker slips out one of his playing cards, of course, a razor's edge that even in an overcoat would not make a sound that different from a regular playing card, and slashes it at Daredevil's costume, rending it asunder near maybe like a vein somewhere in the neck, somewhere too close for comfort. Daredevil, of course, high ninja training would know to jump back. At this point, we've come into this mid-range of combat where I think that the excitement would owe itself to Daredevil. The Joker, by the knowledge of the fact of being put in a sleeper hold that feels like somebody's been put in before, could immediately determine this guy is like a Batman. But he doesn't know yet that his assailant is blind as a bat. So I think this is a part of the Daredevil combat, right? So I think immediately what starts occurring to the Joker is as he stumbles around, scrambling kind of blindly, honestly, for shelter, Daredevil is sort of taken abrupt because he goes, why wouldn't you just immediately go under one table for shelter? It seems like he keeps knocking his head and he keeps saying ouch every time that he does it. You know, he's still a little uncoordinated from the sudden assault. And so the Daredevil's a little confused, like, wait, I thought this guy was some sort of madman. Now he's just hitting his head on the back of a table. But again, his attention is turned towards this YouTuber who now has begun to Blair Witch style start monologuing to the camera about how scared that they are in this abandoned mall. The fight begins to take a different turn. Now projectiles are being thrown because Daredevil at this point is trying to test the range of the Joker. And the Joker, realizing that maybe his assailant has lost him somehow, but he still can't quite tell, throws down the gas. In all desperation, the Joker, because he doesn't know what's going on, goes to his desperation. Suddenly, the presence of the gas makes Daredevil freeze because he realizes maybe this is some kind of like ninja conditioning, right? He thinks the person that he's attacking is a ninja and would attack like a ninja would. But then there's this other tinge of a chemical, maybe something that he thought from mental training back in his old days. And before he knows it, Matt Murdock is subsumed with some kind of insane courtroom scene. The tables transform into a jury. Everybody just starts laughing, and Matt can't see the humor in all of it. And as he's trying to think about why has this food court turned into this jurisprudence against myself, bang, for the back of his head, there's this metallic clang, and then he looks up. You know, it's not the strongest blow in the world, obviously, for his psychotic brain. But he turns around and from the psychotic to Matt Murdock, and it's the Joker hitting him with a lunch pan from the food court that he's found, and he just starts whapping him in the back of the head. But just as a steel chair shot in pro wrestling doesn't do much damage, the Daredevil kind of realizes, oh, this guy doesn't have much oomph behind his hit, and he does one back elbow to the Joker's giant schnoz, which collapses his nasal cavity. The Joker begins to tear up, and then he begins whinging. The Joker starts complaining about what's going on in his brain, and suddenly Matt Murdock's fear-induced toxin hallucination of a jury room coming against him, he starts to hear this person in the galley from the back of the courthouse and turns around to see this pale-faced gentleman just whinging about, my nose being broken! Ah, my nose! And then The fight continues to a fever pace where Murdoch has to take this guy down, but right as he's about to do it, the Joker, in his frenzy, pulls upon the YouTuber's jacket, and the YouTuber falls to the ground. And the Joker pulls, of course, one of his many razor knives from his overcoat. And the Daredevil immediately understands the situation. I've been tricked into this standoff with this person being taken hostage. Now, we did say that these battles don't involve a third person, right? It's just one-on-one. So all I'm saying to this conflict is this. We have two characters, one that sees by sound and the other that sees by madness. And in this one moment, where the Joker thinks that he has Daredevil lured into this one trap, the Daredevil's nunchuck flies off of his baton and scores the Joker right in the forehead. And I think that this is how the battle ultimately ends. The Joker, blind, is trying to concoct a scenario in which he will win his regular super, you know, psychological kind of combat. Daredevil, reacting entirely on instinct, is able to sort of overcome some of the head games because of his finely tuned senses. So, in a one-on-one combat between the Joker and Daredevil, in a fairly neutral conflict, even with my YouTuber kind of narrative adjunct, I would have to give the battle to Daredevil. However, I will say this. There are many moments then that Matt Murdock goes into a courtroom, and everywhere after, he sees or hears, in his mind, of course, the vestiges of a pale man vexing him for whatever verdict might come to his wrongfully accused defendant.
Wow. Okay, here's the deal. I think I love the story. I can understand where you're going with it. Here's why I disagree. You already said the Joker won. And the reason why I'm saying that is because you said, to your story, the Joker already cut through Matt Murdock's Daredevil's costume with a razor sharp playing card. What are those tipped with? Joker toxin.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, I think he won, but I'm not the judge. You gave the win to Daredevil. By the way, great matchup. I completely disagree, according to your own very story, but I'm not the judge. Race to Canis, you get the win with Daredevil. Congratulations. Tell the Legion of Einstein fan base how you feel right now.
I feel like I should have paid $13.50 for that story because I've been to many matinee movies that did not take me the places that our judge today did. Obviously, it's a great decision. I would like to give it up to James Gavsey on this episode for bringing it with the Joker in a way I did not think was possible. I am not going to do that, of course, but I would like to. And that's as close as James is ever really going to get.
I mean, I'll take it. I'll take it. That was pretty good. I got to tell you, I love matchups where it looks very clear like one opponent's going to win. But, you know, this is how it is. And again, I had a feeling that, Sam, you would do the right thing and say, like, look, I get it. But there are ways for the Joker to get the win here. I completely disagree with the outcome, but I got to tell you, like some other judges, but you did really well. I love the story you told. It was really, really cool. As a first-time judge, we couldn't have asked for any better. Well done. Congratulations. Please come back on the Who Would Win show sometime in the near future. We'd love to have you. In the meantime, tell Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you online.
Well, again, James Miranda, as I've said, I think every point, what a compelling show, what a fun fight between two really great characters. And yeah, James, I gotta say, it came super close. I think it's a credit to your defense and your incredible positing as the Joker that actually inspired such a compelling story. But I think that's what makes Joker such a great villain, is that his gimmicks and his scenarios inspire wonderful, wonderful tricks and traps. But it is the Daredevil who is somebody that overcomes these travails constantly, that knows this more than anything else. However, I think in a more drawn out conflict, one that involves a little bit more of Matt Murdock playing cat and mouse with the Joker, we'd see a much tighter fight, if not the opposite direction. So I think it's a great thing for people to continue to conflict over. All that being said, follow me at Sam Weller, YeahSamWeller on Instagram. Like I said, I'm a writer and a comedian. I do a lot of sketch comedy. I do writing with my wife, Emily McGregor. And the other thing I want to say is, if anybody's listening that has a small business, or you're an entrepreneur, or you're a brand, or you're anybody that sells your wares or your services online, and you're looking for a inexpensive way to do some digital ads, try hitting up Scrappy Ads scrappyads.io. Scrappyads.io is where my wife and I have a new spinoff of her marketing business called Scrappy Ads. We can do 3 30-second spots for just $5,000 right now at scrappyads.io. There's a lot of coaches and independent small business entrepreneurs that are looking for ways to have different video content to appeal to their audiences, and that's what we do. So that's the most capitalistic plug I have for you, but on a personal level, as a friendship level, thank you to engineer Rob Clark Chan for bringing me on to this show, and thank you both for sharing your audience with me. I had so much fun today.
Fantastic. All right, Ray Cicanus, got to hand it to you. You did a great job today. You were killing it with Daredevil, and today's matchup is really what the Who Would Win show is all about. So with that being said, tell our fan base, the Legion of Audience, where they can find you online.
This was one of the more epic matchups, much proving many things. You know, my mastery with Daredevil and the fact that Joker had never lost a battle until James Gavsey represented him. I think that's all you really need to take away from this episode.
Now, I don't know if I like this.
This is why you can reverse your decision at any time.
Nope, it's in the books. It's final.
It's in the book. But now if you bring me back as a judge, Ray, there's a little bit of history here. So who knows?
I have history with so many judges on this show, we had to do a month of new ones just to start over. The point I'm trying to make is it's been said online, but I'll say it here again. If you took a random person off the street and said, I've got two characters, one named Daredevil and one named Batman, and one of them, he has his own motorcycle, he has his own airplane, his own very fast car, and he's always jumping around and beating people up in wild fights. And I have a second guy who can't see and uses echolocation in order to defeat his opponents. Which one do you think is named which one? And nobody would say that the one guy is Batman and the other one is Daredevil, because it doesn't make any sense. I would like to start a petition to the White House to rename both characters the opposite of each other for the sake of future generations.
Ray, I will say this again, in a future fight between Daredevil and Joker, we'll get to our pun about being blind as a bat, but Joker wasn't ready for that material yet. It's like when you're working on your tight five and then when you're working on your special material, right? One's 5 minutes, one's 30 minutes. It requires different preparation.
If you've heard me on this show before, you'd know my tight five is 30 minutes. So that's all I have to say about that.
You can find me on.
Where can we find you, James? Because I'm on Threads at Almighty Ray 316. By the way, I'm using the comic book version of Daredevil today.
Thank you. Glad you clarified it.
I got to stay in the rules.
Yes, you do. I'm glad you did that.
Are we gonna just rejudge this with like the TV versions of the characters? Doing the comic versions, I'm guessing.
I'm not against it.
Not against either. All right.
I love it.
Listen, you can find me on X, aka Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gavsey. Remember, join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and be part of our insanely growing community. You can also find us on Instagram and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Ray Cicanus, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, give it up, Jimmy, you gotta sink this putt to win. On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
Hey gang, I hope you enjoyed this episode and loved listening to the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Quick reminder that you can support us by going to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Okay, gotta prepare for next week's episode. Hope the rest of your day is full of wins.